couple of text messages coming into the Mike McFeely Show today on KFGO. One of them says, Mike, why gut a sound liberal arts foundation to earning a degree in higher education just for trendy polytechnic training? And to me, and I'm certainly no expert, but higher education is in a tough spot these days because there is just so much of an emphasis on business and on computer training and all those things. And that while colleges and universities do that and they do it well, many universities, liberal arts universities, don't really focus on that. And so I've always thought they've been in kind of a tough spot. How do you balance? How do you balance getting a good, well-rounded education where you can actually, you know, have some history and have some arts and some theater and some music and all these different disciplines? How can you mix that with real world job training, which in all honesty, we need in today's world as well? Let's get to the person who started this whole kerfuffle in Moorhead. Her name is Rebecca Schumann. She is an adjunct professor at the University of Missouri, St. Louis, and she is the higher education columnist for Slate Magazine. You can find it at slate.com. That is her website address. Rebecca, thanks for coming on the program today. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet.
And happy Thanksgiving to you and all your listeners.
And to you as well. So let me ask you this. Why the heck did you go after Minnesota State University Moorhead, Rebecca, in your column at Slate Magazine and say that this is an administrative thing where they're making cuts in all the wrong places? Why, Rebecca? Why?
Well, I have a lot of readers from the area who are very concerned, and they sent me in some emails. They gave me some tweets. They brought this situation to my attention. And then the magazine I write for, Slate, is based in Washington, D.C., and UDC is having similar issues. And so it was just something on everybody's mind, and it's something that I've seen before. There was a university in northern Iowa that cut many of its fundamental department several years ago. This is not an unusual thing. And I don't consider myself going after this university at all. I consider myself defending it. I wrote this on behalf of the students and on behalf of the faculty and parents in hoping that it would bring enough attention to shame the administration into thinking twice about cutting all those programs.
Well, and let me make a point here, because I just had President Edna Szymanski and Provost Ann Blackhurst came across town and came into the studio to spend the first half hour of the show with me talking about your article. And they said
that, I didn't hear that. It must have been great.
It'll be podcast at kfgo.com. You can find it
okay,
there.
Great. Okay.
They said the basis for your article, Rebecca, was all wrong, because they said that they are not looking at cutting departments. They are not looking at eliminating departments. And so the entire basis of what you're saying was misplaced. I mean, can you respond to that?
Well, what are they looking at doing then? Tell me, what did they say that they were actually going to do?
They are going to make some departments more efficient. They are going to maybe combine some departments and some programs. And yes, there will be some faculty cut.
Well, that's corporate speak for cutting a bunch of departments. They may not be doing that in name, but they're doing it in spirit. I stand by what I wrote.
Okay. So, have you seen this before? You mentioned a couple of other spots where you've seen this before. Are you confident that this is their game plan at Moorhead State? Because I got the sense, and I've known President Szymanski for a long time, that they seem to be saying publicly this is not at all going to happen, that Rebecca had this all wrong. Have you seen this before where there's been some corporate doublespeak going on?
I mean, this is just speculation. And this has been speculated to me by some of my readers who are closer to the situation. It is entirely possible that they are threatening these broad cuts to force the hands of the faculty that they tried to incentivize to retire before and wouldn't accept buyouts.
Okay.
So it's possible that they're trying to bully the faculty who wouldn't retire into retiring by threatening to cut, not just programs like English, that there's a lot of sort of anti-English schadenfreude in the comments of the Slate article about how, you know, that's not a useful discipline at all. But they are also threatening to cut disciplines that do offer more vocational training. And so I think that by doing that, they're basically playing the biggest hand they have to try to get people to sacrifice themselves instead of having the university basically sacrifice itself.
The headline of your article, it was titled "A Ghost Town with a Quad." Is that is that the future of the American university? Do you think?
I believe it is.
Do you, as I was gonna say, do you believe that that is the future of the American university? Is a ghost town with a quad?
Absolutely. I think universities right now concentrate almost entirely on amenities, on luxury dorms, on climbing walls like the one at Moorhead, on sports, on really anything but academics. And I think that with the continuing influence of massive online open education, pretty soon the faculty part of the university, the academic part of the university, will be outsourced to about 10 A-list Hollywood actors who are strutting and fretting their hour upon a stage, and there just won't be any academics left in universities. I mean, that's a little bit gloom and doom, but I'm a provocateur. That's what I'm trying to provoke that image to scare people into realizing that this could very well happen.
That is not a little gloom and doom. That's a lot of gloom and doom, Rebecca, to be honest with you. But you're right, and I'm in the provoking business as well, and so I get where you're coming from. I asked the president, by the way, I asked President Szymanski face to face. I said, you know, is this a ploy to eliminate some departments, which is a way to get rid of tenured faculty, and then later on come back and rehire some of these faculty at a lower salary with less benefits or fewer benefits? And she said, no, that is absolutely not the case. Has that happened somewhere else before, Rebecca, where they've eliminated departments completely to get around the rules, so to speak, and then brought some people back later?
Absolutely. And I can't go into too much detail about that because that would involve implicating some institutions that I have worked for or currently work for. So I can't really go into detail about things I know personally, but that happens all the time.
Okay.
It happens all the time where programs will get eliminated. It usually happens when a faculty that doesn't have tenure, a sort of a permanent non-tenure track faculty, their position will be eliminated and then they'll be rehired as an adjunct.
So I know that you're on the outside looking in to Moorhead, Minnesota, and I know that you don't know all the inner workings. You don't know a lot of the personalities of the people here. But speaking in general, Rebecca, what would be a better path for universities with budget holes moving forward? You know, I think the District of Columbia University that you mentioned, mm-hmm. I think they got rid of some athletic departments or some programs in athletics. You know, would you like to see that happen? What do you want to see happen when a college in the future has budget issues?
Well, I mean, not to hedge the issue, but I'd like to get out in front of the budget issues a little bit by not, for example, trying to take a radical change to a university profile that ends up disenfranchising a lot of the students and then creates a big enrollment deficit that creates a budget problem. Just speaking generally.
Okay.
but I think that many, many universities in the United States, especially public universities, have huge budget problems right now. And I think that the wisest way to approach them is with across-the-board belt tightening for everybody. So, yes, faculty furloughs, but not faculty elimination. The University of California's faculty has been dealing with furloughs for 6 years, and they're not happy about it, but they do it. And they even use their furlough days to raise awareness about what's happening. But why just staff faculty furloughs? There should be administration furloughs. Administration, people who make a lot of money in administration should voluntarily take pay cuts to show that they're serious about tightening their own belts and not just the university's belts. And yes, non-essential luxury programs in the university should be cut. And yes, that might negatively impact enrollment, but the whole point of my article was, why boost enrollment when there is nothing to enroll for?
I got you. Rebecca, thank you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
I enjoyed reading the article. I didn't agree with all of it, I'll be honest with you. I really like the rock wall at MSUM, by the way. It's a really nice rock wall. I was just over there last night, as a matter of fact. But I understand where you're coming from and what you're trying to do here. And I always appreciate somebody who tries to get a discussion going. So thanks for coming on.
Well, maybe you can start a fundraising drive on your radio station to make the Rockwall privately sponsored, and then they can free up some funds that way.
I'll try to see if I can do that, Rebecca. Thank you. Come back
All
again,
right.
Okay?
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah. All right. Happy Thanksgiving.
You bet. Rebecca.